tuned in to the Community Cats Podcast. Ready? Let's go.
Welcome to the Community Cats Podcast. I'm your host, Stacey LeBaron. I've been involved helping homeless cats for over 30 years with the Merrimack River Feline Rescue Society. The goal of this podcast is to expose you to amazing people who are improving the lives of cats. I hope these interviews will help you learn how you can turn your passion for cats into action. And today, we are speaking with Carrie Weber. Carrie has over 30 years of experience in animal welfare with a career spanning adoptions, temperament testing, medical assistance, TNR, and hospice care. She ran the Clayton County Humane Society in Georgia and was a founding board member of Forever Friends Pet Rescue Incorporated in Georgia. A retired police officer, she was often called by fellow officers and departments to assist with animal-related cases. She's also the co-owner of the Best Little Cat House in Pennsylvania, the oldest cat hospice in the United States. In addition, she serves as a board member and volunteer for PennyFix, a nonprofit dedicated to ending animal overpopulation by awarding spay-neuter grants all across the United States. And I'd like to welcome you to the show, Carrie.
Thank you very much, Stacey.
So first and foremost, I have to ask you the question, how'd you get to be so passionate about cats?
I can't remember a moment in my life that I didn't have animals. My mom, we always had animals. She had, you name it, she had it. Cats, dogs, guinea pigs, birds, fish. My mom believed in rescuing everything and anything she could, including children. She took in children and everything else. So they always called us the UN and the petting zoo of the street we lived on when we grew up. That passion and just seeing what my mom did for the animals just really resonated in my heart. And I've just always had a love and a passion for cats. And I've always just wanted to speak for them. One of the things as a police officer that was important to me was being able to advocate and speak for those that can't speak for themselves. And to me, the most needy in our society for that are babies, seniors, and animals. So my passion has just always been to help cats. And I absolutely adore them. My entire life has been filled with them, and I can't see a day in my life without them.
You've been involved in this animal welfare world that we all live in. We all live in the animal welfare world, but you've been in it actively for 30 years. And I can say in my time, my thoughts, ideas, opinions of, you know, how to help animals in the community has potentially changed. So going back to Carrie 30 years ago, getting involved in helping animals, to Carrie today, what is your evolution of thought about your role in this animal welfare space?
When I first started, I think I was very naive as to what the needs of animals were. I thought I knew what the needs were, such as just one example. You know, if you do a spay abort surgery, I always thought that was so horrible. And then I realized we don't have enough homes. Over the years, I saw we may allow this litter of five to be born, but that meant five cats in an animal control facility that already had lives were being put down. So I really shifted my focus and realization as to what the needs of those animals were. And though a lot of it is a labor of love, it's also about respect and realizing what they truly need, not what I thought they needed, but what they truly need. A feral cat, I may want to go kiss him on the nose, but he doesn't want to kiss on my nose. All he wants me to do is put that food down and walk away and leave him alone. And being able to recognize the importance of what are their actual needs, not what are my naive thoughts as to what they want.
We were actually kind of giggling that we were both tied for the number of nonprofits that we were involved with. And we're going to talk about PennyFix in a minute, but I want to talk about you and your personal journey. You're involved in a lot of different nonprofits, or you have been over the years. Why?
Because it's my passion. I have wanted to learn from multiple different people, different information. I've been in different areas. Different areas look at different things, such as down in Georgia, I was with the Clayton County Humane Society for years. And seeing that kitten season never ends in Georgia, it's warm enough that 365 days a year, they have kitten season. Whereas you start getting further north and you get winter, and sometimes you get that hiatus because they naturally know we can't reproduce right now. So they stop. Recognizing that difference, that shift, really shifted my understanding. So being able to move all over the place and move to different organizations gave me a different viewpoint and allowed me to fully understand what I just said about wanting to know how to help the cats and what they actually need and in what areas, because each area is different. The other thing I wanted to do is take my experience and be able to help as much as I possibly could as well, because I recognize for everything I'm learning, I can also maybe take it somewhere else. And sometimes you just need a volunteer that can get down and muck the poop, muck the pee, and keep on going. It doesn't even have to be anything more than that, but to be able to go and do that. We're seeing a shortage of volunteers. So to be able to go and volunteer anything I can, I think is important.
So I will share to all that I would never, ever bottle feed a kitten. I would just never. So as a volunteer, you know, if you're sitting here, I'm a volunteer coordinator. Carrie, what are your strengths and what are your weaknesses, or what are your favorite things you'd like to do? And what are the things that you would choose not to do?
Things I love to do? Bottle feeding kittens, the thing you made. I absolutely adore bottle fed kittens. I adore them. That was one of my passions. Now I volunteer with hospice, not adoption. So I don't really get the kittens, and that's okay. The thing that I hate actually isn't even with cats. It's cutting dog nails. I'll do absolutely anything else. Just don't give me dog nails. Anything else. I don't care how disgusting. I'll do it.
And I mean, you're on the board. What's it like being member of a board of very small organizations?
It can be very powerful in that you have a lot of input, but there's a lot of challenges too. When there is only a few of you, that input then becomes difficult because now you have to think even more. You have to think outside of the box. It's a lot of fun sometimes, and it's very difficult sometimes. But I think to be able to be as impactful as we are because we are such a small board is very important and very unique.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's turn to PennyFix. So we did an interview earlier, several years earlier, and we'll have the link in the show notes of the previous episode. But many of our listeners, they've never heard of PennyFix. And I love PennyFix. I am a donor to PennyFix. I think it's a great model. So share with us, what is PennyFix?
The model of PennyFix is what we ultimately hope to do is be able to have every can of dog and cat food sold in the United States have a one penny surcharge put on that. That one penny surcharge would then be sent to PennyFix, and PennyFix would award those grants. That amount of money coming in would be enough to spay and neuter every dog and cat and vaccinate them in the United States at no cost to the shelter and or the owner or the TNR person that's trapping that particular colony. It would be only the animal people paying for the overpopulation problem. Because if you're not buying cans of dog and cat food, you're not paying that 1 cent surcharge. So non-animal people aren't paying for it since 2017. We have been receiving donations and we are awarding grants, but we have not yet successfully gotten a pet food manufacturer on board, but we're still working on it.
The guiding vision of PennyFix is all around offering these spay-neuter grants. So tell me, how did the board or the organization really decide to focus in on spay-neuter? Like, what is the why around that? And is it for spay-neuter for animals being put up for adoption, or is it for owned cats and dogs? Am I, as an individual, able to apply for funding to PennyFix, or how does it operate?
So the way it came about was, I remember I've been with the Best Little Cat House for 20 years now with Lynn Stitt. She's the president. She's the founder of the Best Little Cat House. We're the oldest hospice for terminally ill cats in the United States. And we've been talking over the years. And it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're from a shelter, an individual person, you do trap, neuter, release. The problem is we're seeing the overpopulation. We're seeing these cats come in with these terminal illnesses. Sometimes they're contagious, sometimes they're non-contagious. So as we're talking some of these times, Lynn says, what happens if we take this one penny surcharge and we can pay for spay, neuter? The problem is we need to handle spay neuter because the overpopulation problem isn't getting handled any other way. Trap and kill doesn't work. That's been proven time and time again. trap, neuter, release absolutely works when you start talking about colonies. And it also works in the dog industry. You have too many dogs as well. So the idea was to fund these grants for spay, neuter for anybody. Now, we do, our grants do get funded to 501c3. We have to be able to monitor it somehow. But any of these grants that are given out, home-owned people can come. Feral cats, shelter animals, it's for every dog and cat in the United States. We aren't looking at what is your economic background, anything else. If you have a dog or a cat and you want to have them spayed or neutered, we want to be able to fund that. We just make sure it goes through a 501c3 organization.
And you started in 2017, and here we are approaching at 2026, so almost 10 years. How has the spay-neuter landscape changed in that period of time?
It's become more difficult in some ways. You're seeing rising veterinary costs, which make it even more difficult, whether it's a home-owned, a shelter, it doesn't matter. Your TNR people, they're trying to afford this. Some places have low costs, some places don't have that. We're not seeing as many veterinarians out there anymore. That's a problem. Where are the vets? Are we not getting as many through the schools? We don't know, but we're not seeing the vets. And we're not seeing the accessibility to spay neuter as we once upon a time were. So it's making it more difficult to have as big of an impact on the spay neuter as we need to.
How do these organizations find you? They write grant applications. And then, you know, how do you deal with an organization that maybe doesn't even have access to veterinary services, like 60 miles away from them? Are you able to still help them? Or is there some pre-work they have to do, like create some spay neuter capacity first?
So if they go to our website, they can go on there and fill out our grant application. It is a very, very easy grant application to fill out. Once the approval happens, they can set up the spay neuter however they need to, whether maybe they have 60 miles and they know that this is the cost and I can get X amount of animals done. So they load them all up in a van, they drive them down there. Then they send that information back to us and we send a check back out to them to reimburse them for the total amount of that clinic. So we can't set up clinics for them, but there is no limit. If you have a clinic that will spay your cats, spay and neuter your cats for $25-$50, great. If it costs $500 to spay or neuter your cat, great. We're going to pay it. We're not going to ask it. We just have to have the paperwork stating that it was done, but there's no problem for anybody. There's no restriction if you don't have access to reduce cost.
It's estimated there are hundreds of thousands of cats living outside in New York City, over 500,000. And the wild thing? They've always been here, right underfoot. We just haven't been paying attention.
It is cats everywhere. I am very heartbroken.
Starts with one cat, and before you know it, is another one and another one, and then one is really sick. I started making phone calls. Can somebody come pick them up?
Rain, snow, or shine. How they survive is beyond me.
Think about feeding 29 cats every morning. I couldn't afford to do that.
This isn't just a story about cats. It's about systems, about poverty, housing, burnout, and what happens when we're forced to build something better from the ground up. From Flatbush Cats, this is Underfoot, a new podcast uncovering New York City's cat crisis and how we can fix it together. Follow now wherever you listen.
When we launched the Community Cats podcast, our goal was simple: share stories and strategies to help cat lovers turn their passion into action. But something amazing happened. Our community grew, and so did our mission. Over the years, we've added webinars, conferences, certification courses, downloadable tools, and a whole lot more to support people who care about cats. So it's time for our name to reflect everything we do. The podcast isn't going anywhere, but our overall platform is rebranding as Community Cat Central. It's the same team, the same heart, and the same commitment, just with a fresh new look and even better ways to help you take action for cats in your community. You'll start seeing updates soon, including a brand new website, smarter email tools, and resources that are easier to access and use. We're so grateful to have you on this journey with us, and we can't wait to show you what's next.
Want an easy grant opportunity for your animal organization? Maddie's Fund is giving away a $3,000 grant each month to one lucky Maddie's Pet Forum member. You'll automatically be entered to win each month when you start a new discussion, reply to a new post, or upload a new library resource. Learn more at forum.maddiesfund.org today.
So what tips would you give folks with regards to fundraising?
Determination, persistence, and really just putting yourself out there. Letting people know that you have a need, letting people know what you're doing. One of the things PennyFix has been doing once upon a time, and I'm certain you'll probably remember this with the years of animal welfare that you have. We used to have posters everywhere you look. There were posters about it. You don't see that anymore because everything's online. PennyFix, we've actually started creating posters and they just say different things just to catch your attention. Then we have a QR code on there that takes you to the website. So putting yourself out there, whether it means posters, and that can be go into your local convenience store. It doesn't only have to be in veterinary clinics. One of the issues I think that we're seeing with donations for all of the animal groups is we're all trying to tap the same people that their heart's already in it. They're already donating everything that they absolutely can. So how do I donate more? So if we can go and try to grab the people that are walking into the convenience store, or walking into the Lowe's if they have a community board, and being able to put up these posters and be able to get somebody else that isn't going into necessarily the vet clinic or that isn't involved in rescue that we aren't already receiving donations from.
Yeah. And I will just say, I think an incredibly untapped market is folks in the donor advised fund space, because many folks, when they do have a windfall opportunity and they set up a donor advised fund because it's tax efficient, it's like, okay, put this money over here. And then you sort of forget about it. And then their advisor will say, oh, you should distribute 5%, 10%, or whatever the percentage is. And you have like, I have no idea. I haven't thought about this at all. And it's good to try and connect with any donor advised fund representatives, because oftentimes it's those financial advisors that are being asked, do you know any animal welfare groups? You know, who would you want to give this to? So even if it seems like it's a blanket email or whatever, it may hit just the right person. I mean, we had that with the donation can. We used to have donation cans at like a 7-Eleven, and there was a lawyer who used to get their coffee there every morning and put change in the can. And I know we don't do change anymore, but they put change in the can. And then a family came in to do the estate of their parent. And the parent said, here's X dollar, X dollar, X dollar, each child, but they have to decide a charity. And then each child was assigned, one was the arts and one was something else. And then there was animals. And the third child was like, oh, I don't know who to give the money to. I have no idea. And the guy said, well, there's this nice cat group. And it was a five-figure donation. I mean, it was a substantial donation. It wasn't like $500. It was much more than that. And just based on that recommendation from the donation can came this whole relationship all the way through. So you never know where it's going to come. So also with everybody we're talking to, please always have your visiting grandmother voice on, right? That you're well behaved, because anyone can become a donor at any point in time. But also, I just think that's a really untapped market that we haven't worked hard.
And it's funny too, because one of our volunteers actually has started reaching out to some of the local funeral homes. You know, she knows some of the people, the same thing. They walk in and it's not pushing it. It's just a little sign that's right there that if they're looking for something for their loved one, it's right there. So people also prepay for their funerals as well, so they could be in there and see it. So same type idea. And it doesn't have to be a push. It's just the idea is there. I totally agree.
Yeah. I know many of us in this mission or this cause that we are in, many of us feel like, you know, sales is not in our DNA. But we are advocates for the cats. And by getting the word out and being proud about the work you're doing and telling the stories, that is really, you're the voice for the animals. And so just try and think of it that way. I am representing the cats, the needs of the cats. I have to tell the stories. You have to tell the story 7 times before somebody hears it too. So I may feel like I'm repeating myself, but for somebody else, it's the first time they've heard about it. So also don't worry if you feel like you're repeating yourself, because it's actually better because your voice is consistent and your messaging is consistent. You actually just relatively recently redid your website. for the organization. Tell me a little bit about the how and why around doing a whole website design. And now you have a blog, and it just seems like it's a lot more work. So tell me about that.
The website, our old website, it was fine, but it was definitely a starter website. And we realized we really had outgrown that website. And we had somebody that does website design that was willing to do it at a much reduced cost for us. So again, the board pays for that. Every donation that is received goes 100% to spay-neuter. So any costs like that, whether it's paying for the website, postage, anything like that, the board, we personally pay that so that we know we can say our donations go for spay-neuter. So we paid for that. And in March, we launched it. It's a beautiful website. It provides so much more information. We have a scrolling banner on the front of the homepage that we constantly update. It tells you that we have 319 grants that we have awarded and 8,269 dogs and cats that we've paid in full their spay and neuter. And just so everyone knows, we're in 48 states, Puerto Rico, and DC for all of those grants. And we also created a blog page. On that blog page, we're trying to educate people and open eyes and hearts to the plight of the animals, to understanding what overpopulation is, what spay and neuter is, why spay and neuter is so important. And all of us in this mission, as you said, there's a lot of things that we know and we understand without question. But somebody maybe that owns a dog or two cats or whatever, if they're not in the trenches with us, they don't realize how bad it is. They don't realize what the need actually is. You start talking to people and they're like, what, really? And they have no idea. So our blogs, we're trying to educate and have people understand why it's so important and what the actual benefits are. We talk a lot about the Feline Fix by Five. We did a blog post completely talking about juvenile pediatric spay-neuter and where it's considered safe. And we've cited different sources like AVMA, Cornell, that sort of stuff. We're citing numbers and just letting people understand the truth behind overpopulation and why it's so important to spay and neuter.
That's great, Carrie. If folks are interested in finding out more about Penny Fix, reading those blogs, seeing, you know, how they could get support, how would they do that?
Go to www.pennyfix.org. That is our new website. We also do post a bunch on Facebook as well. It's just Penny Fix. The blogs are on the blog page. There's a donate page. The grant application page is there. Just everything that you can think about. We have a contact page on there. So www.pennyfix.org.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Yes, I would like to talk about one other thing. We've talked about how our model is to have one penny surcharge put on every can of dog and cat food sold. That's going to be from the corporations, right, from the corporate world. But one of the things that we just launched for individual donors is our penny a day program. The idea behind that is if everybody donated one penny every single day, that's just $3.65 in a year. That's it. If only 10,000 people did that every year, that's $36,500 in 1 year for $3.65. So we do have on the top of our website, the campaigns page. If you go to campaigns, penny a day, you can go in and make a donation through the Penny a Day campaign. You could do it annually, monthly, whatever you chose to. But it's just a way that we're not asking for a lot from anybody. But if everybody donates their change, we can start fixing the problem. And it's not asking for too much.
That's great. Excellent. Yeah. So, folks, please start the year out right with Penny a Day. You know, it's a New Year's resolution for folks to try. Well, Carrie, this has been a great conversation. I want to thank you so much for being a guest on the show, and I hope we'll have you on in the future and we can update Penny Fix and the numbers.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Stacey. It's been wonderful.
That's it for this week. Please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. We love to hear what you think, and a 5-star review really helps others find the show. You can also join the conversation with listeners, cat caretakers, and me on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to hit follow or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a single show. Thanks for listening, and thank you for everything that you do to help create a safe and healthy world for cats.